Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What?
Oh my God.
It is a happy, happy hour this
yes,
week.
It
this
is
the happiest of weeks, isn't it?
It is.
We've hit the lowest unemployment number since numbers were invented, Chris, including the number
11 billion.
That's right.
Which is an invented number.
Okay. I mean, come on. The news that Trump's lawyers are telling him he is likely to be indicted.
Yep.
Moving up the chain at DOJ.
Zoinks.
I'm wearing Black Lives Matter for justice for Breonna Taylor at long last.
About time.
Alex Jones.
Yep.
Bam!
Boom.
Got to get a financial colon blow. It's a happy week, right? And we that's why we are populating the happy hour with entirely comedians, including the wildly popular Noel Castler.
Yes.
Who knows everything about Donald Trump, having worked on The Apprentice with him. Oh, we talked to Vanna, conspiracy theories. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And Corny Cole, who was EP for not just Oprah and Gayle King, but also Dr. Oz.
Dr. Laura.
Yes, who has a great new podcast out making fun of Marjorie Taylor Greene and everything that needs to be made fun of in the world. Okay. So
and we got a great, great happy hour for you today.
Yeah, indeed we do. So enjoy. Get your face up in it.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Noel Castler,
what?
Comedian extraordinaire, who's been trying to warn us for how long, Chris?
11 billion years.
About Donald Trump. Good morning, Noel Castler. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie. Great to be here.
Nice to see you again. First of all, I couldn't wait to talk with you about Ivana, and then we'll get on to other things. You tweeted, Trump holding a golf tournament days after his first wife and mother of some of his children are basically buried in the backyard is a new low in a long life of crassness. I saw a picture. There's literally a patch of dirt and a paving stone with her name on it for a tax break. It's so Donald Trump, isn't it?
Right. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And when he applied for the permit to have the cemetery on, you know, on his golf course, for his tombstone, he wants a 16-foot-high obelisk.
Oh, cool.
And that became contentious at the permit meeting in the town of Bedminster. I'm not even joking, right? So do you think Donald Trump would be satisfied with a paving stone with his name carved? They didn't even spring for sod. If you saw the picture, it's
dirt.
Just
oh,
dirt.
Yeah.
I had a more elaborate thing for my cat when I buried him in the backyard.
You know, Chris gives me the stank eye when I talk with Ivana. conspiracy theories, but I just, because he's so mobby, I'm like, really? The day before his deposition, he gets out of the deposition and there's no, I don't know. I feels like there's a lot of suspicious things about the Ivana thing. What are your thoughts on it?
I agree with you 100%. You know, I don't want to sound conspiracy theorist either, but there's a lot of very convenient deaths in Donald Trump's history, if you look into it, right? Harold Bornstein was his Dr. Feelgood on the Upper East Side. He died mysteriously in January of 20, right after all that stuff happened at the Capitol. That's the same guy that his security guards took his medical records from when he was elected.
Yeah.
So it's suspicious that she died. It was like a 48-hour autopsy, no toxicology report. And then she's buried on private property where she can never be exhumed.
Well,
you know?
Right. But also 73 and an excellent skier, for all we know, like in good. It just, there seemed a lot of weird things about it, that it was blunt torso force injury or like, and she had no injuries or broken ankles, hands, anything. Like it just, the whole thing.
So. I agree. And I used to do an event with her every year called the Angel Ball in New York City. It was a big fundraiser. And she was a hardy woman. Do you know what I mean? She wasn't like some frail, you know, octogenarian or something that you think a fall down the stairs would take her out. She was a big, solid lady.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I just like
she wasn't,
you said
know,
that.
She was looked like she was a bit of a mess, too, to be honest. But, I know somebody.
She married Donald Trump.
If you want to gossip, I know somebody who saw her in a restaurant a few days earlier and said she was looking kind of rough. But that looking rough is code on the Upper East Side for, you know, Xanax and a few.
That's what I was wondering about, why there was no toxicology, because you're like, unless she was impaired in some way, right?
Absolutely. And the normal procedure is it takes a couple weeks to get those results from an autopsy. It's not 48 hours here. You can have the body and go bury it in your backyard. You know, that only happens to Trump.
Can I just say, because you have such this history, people famously know that you worked on The Apprentice with Donald Trump and, you know, started talking quite openly about a lot of things about him a long time ago. But you said what you're seeing from Trump's vast tentacles of corruption, toadies on loan from Doug Ducey, acting sycophants. You just said it should be very illuminating for those who wonder how Trump got away with so many crimes in his New York City days, because people from New York are like, he's always been a crook. We've known that from day one, right? You look right up through what's happening right now, you're like, oh, of course, he has somehow loyalists and people that are destroying evidence and God knows what, right?
Absolutely. He's always had a skill, a sixth sense to attract men and some women around him that he could corrupt. You know, he can look into a crowd and see the kind of guys that are going to do his bidding, the dogs that hunt, so to speak. And that's what his security team was. You know, Keith Schiller was an NYPD sergeant rammer who would knock down doors of drug dens in the Bronx. You know, he was the guy who knocked the door down. He went up to Trump in court and said, you need to hire me. Right. And Trump hired him. Mm. And then when you're walking around with a detail of ex-NYPD cops, you get away with stuff in New York City. Right. Because it's an impenetrable sort of wall of authority. And Trump knows that. You know, we could probably get into it. But the Secret Service stuff seems very I worked with the Secret Service tons. I did inaugurations. I did, the tree lighting at the White House, all kinds of stuff where the president was at. The Secret Service under Trump was a different Secret Service, you know, and I went to high school with Bobby Engel, the guy he tried to choke in the back of the SUV.
Yeah.
And he was like a Marine kind of jarhead cop type. And that's the type that Trump will suck in. And it's almost like before they know it, they're doing his bidding. Do you know what I mean? I'm not even saying they all set out with the intention of being corrupted, but being in Trump's orbit will corrupt you by osmosis.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Who was the guy he hired because he saw him beat someone up? Wasn't that
Matthew Calamari?
Matty the Squid.
Matty the Squid.
Yeah.
Right. Matty the Squid. And he beat up a guy at the U.S. Open, which was one of my gigs. It happened before I was on the show, but I did it for 12 years. And actually, our VIP box was right next to Trump's box, and he actually had assaulted somebody in that room. But yeah, he beat up a protester who was heckling him and Ivana, like a fan at the U.S. Open, and Matty kicked his butt, and then Trump hired him.
Yeah. Well, okay, speaking of the sycophants, you said, in my opinion, A.G. Garland should have walked in on day one, said, if you were appointed by Trump, raise your hand. Okay, now grab your things and get the F out. Don't give criminals a year and a half to destroy evidence. I mean, I think that's the problem, is you never, no one, despite how many years he's been at it, no one imagines the degree of criminality. You're like, oh, they planned this in advance and then destroyed all the evidence already in advance. I mean, we were, you know, you listen to Matt Gaetz on tape to Roger Stone and you're like, oh, this is how they got away with the original treason, because Stone was the one that could have put Trump away for the, you know, Russia thing.
Yeah.
Right?
100%. That's exactly how it works. That's how the mob works. That's what I was referring to in New York City. You know, that's what he did. He would corrupt people to get building permits and all this kind of stuff. And once he gets the compromise, he owns you. And like your previous caller said, I think our new leadership should have read the room a little more, right? Because we weren't going back to normal institutional times.
Yeah.
Trump had corrupted it. You need to know where all the landmines are, so to speak, that he left for the next guy, as he surely did. And I wrote that tweet because I was remember the scene in Glengarry Glen Ross when Alec Baldwin comes in. He's like, steak knives are second place. Third place is you're fired.
Exactly.
You know, we needed that kind of cathartic. There's a new sheriff in town. Get out of here. If it turns out you're not corrupt, we'll let you back in. But right now, everybody get out of the building, you know, while we search, you know, search your file, so to speak.
By the way, could I ask, speaking of building contracts, could I ask a random question? You tweeted Trump never got a building contract that did not have a job attached to it. It's crass, but true and well known in certain real estate circles.
Yeah, that's what he would do. That's what I was referring to. When he owned the Plaza Hotel, for example, he would have these big parties in his suite there, and he would invite building inspectors, guys he needed to do business with, loan officers at banks. And back then, he owned Trump Model Management, where he would bring in these girls from, you know, the Soviet, post-Soviet bloc, Eastern Europe, and he would have them, you know, served up as party favors, basically, at these parties. And then he would collect compromise on the dudes who availed themselves, you know.
So that would be blackmail, but on top of the human trafficking operation that he was running.
Bingo.
Okay.
And that's not hyperbole. That's in books. You know, David Kaye wrote about that. Richard James Zirin.
Right.
Like, I'm not making this stuff up for your listeners. They can research it.
Right. So... Can we, speaking of Ivana, I was trying to, some people have a photographic memory. Did she not write in her first book about him raping her, right? And also, he got a hair transplant, a doctor that she had recommended, I think, and he was in a lot of pain, right? Or something, it didn't work properly. And so he wanted her to feel the same pain. This is what she wrote, that he pulled out clumps of her hair so she would be in as much pain and raped her. But then what happened that she then retracted it, right? And she, said, oh, well, I didn't really mean rape in the classics. Like, you know what I mean? She backpedaled after a settlement. Yeah. Can you explain
the settlement? The divorce settlement. She talked about it. It left a scar on his forehead. And he said, you've ruined my life. And then he committed those physical acts of violence upon her and said, how do you feel now? Right. So she documented all this. But when they were going through the divorce, when they finally got the settlement, one of the contingencies was that she'd have to sign an NDA and retract those statements to get the check. And she did and went off to live in, you know, relative obscurity until he had to catch up with her, you know, last month. But that's what he does. And that's, you know, that story is key. As hard as it is to hear, that's an insight into his personality. He's a very sadistic human being. You know, he's much sicker than even the world knows, seeing all of his crimes. And I know tons of people that have similar stories. Not tons, but I know a few, and they're their stories, so I can't tell them. But, you know, he was known as a very sort of violent, you know, sort of man.
Well, I mean, again, up till today, you said it's becoming pretty apparent how vast the conspiracy was on January 6th, from the Secret Service agents that were Trump toadies to the DHS and members of Congress. That was a straight up coup attempt. It was the only the mediocrity of MAGA that made it fail, lock them all up. I mean, you know, they keep calling it stupid Watergate or whatever. But I guess that's what's really sort of astounding, right, is that this guy, this bag of trans fats, like, how does he find people like the Secret Service? Like you were saying, that they're not even loyal, not even to the Republican Party, right? That's why Pence was nervous, that he finds people that are loyal to the cult of Donald Trump, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I said he's got a sixth sense to do it, and he can find the personality type that will, it'll work on, you know? Remember his chief, Kelly, was a chief of staff who's a good example. Kelly was like, had 80% of that personality, right? He's a Boston guy. He's a military guy. He sort of leans a little racist based on his record. Trump thought he could completely corrupt him, and he couldn't, right? And John Kelly left the chief of staff operation. But most guys aren't John Kelly. You know, most guys give into it. And that loyalty thing becomes like a codependent relationship, because Trump's also an active addict, as I've said. Yeah. And addiction has its own psychological, you know, it's a family disease, they say, right? So you get sort of drawn into covering for the guy. And Trump is very charming. I know that sounds bizarre,
yeah.
But if you're in his inner circle, he's always puffing those guys up. How's your wife? How's your kids? Let me call them on their birthday. You know, he yeah. knows how to sort of make you, you know, sort of cultivate your loyalty.
And, yeah, Ted Bundy was like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very charming. Most sociopaths yeah, exactly. are very charming.
Right. So exactly. Narcissists are charming. It's part of the whole, you know, psychological bag of tricks that they have.
Yeah.
And can I say one more thing? You yeah. mentioned Matt Gaetz. That example of him showing those pictures to other congressmen on the yeah. floor of you know, the House, saying, look
girls.
At this girl I slept with last night. What he was doing, in my opinion, was looking for guys that wanted some of that. He was mm-hmm. looking for the guy who's going to say, that looks good. And then Matt would say, well, come by Trump Hotel on Friday night. I'm having a little party in the suite, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he would hook that person up with a girl, and then they would own that congressman. I think Matt Gaetz was fishing on behalf of
wow.
Trump to pull people in for compromise.
I'm curious, watching a lifetime of this, you know, of Donald Trump and what's going on now with January 6th, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen? Is he going to go down? Are all these people going to go down for him? You know what I mean? Like, are they going to
yeah.
flip? Are they going to do what is going to be? Or do you feel like this lifetime of karma is going to catch up with him?
God, it's the question of the hour, isn't mm-hmm. it? Rolling Stone had some good reporting last night that he's shifting his legal defense to look for a fall guy now.
Yep.
You
yep.
know, they're going to look for a Mark Miller, or Mark Meadows, rather, or somebody like that to sort of lay the blame on. I think legally that's their strategy. You know, I'd like to say he's going to go to prison. I don't really see that that's ever going to happen. You know, in my opinion, he's sort of already gotten away with it. He's 76 years old. He just had a golf tournament this weekend. You know, he's having rallies every weekend. He's still fundraising. So even if they sort of get him dead to rights, it's going to take years to work its way through the courts. He's going to be able to pay fines and stuff like that. What I do hope, and what I think is commendable, is the January 6th committee. I think they're really illuminating how vast the conspiracy is. And I think, you know, there'll be some comeuppance, but it's a race against the clock.
Yes.
You know, the flip
That's
side
right.
of that is if they take back the House and the Senate in November, it's all over.
Andrew
You're
Weissman
just,
right. said that. And can I just say, you're still a helper at the end of the day. You tweeted, y'all need to stop making fun of how Trump looks today. He can't wear his girdle when he's playing golf.
Ha.
And I think that was nice of you to point that out.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm still looking out for him, you know. It's a hard plastic girdle that I've seen people strap him into, and it's not a pretty sight. But he can't swing a golf club in it. So when he's on the course, he can't wear the shoe lifts or the girdle. So he's out of his element.
Which is why he's a perfect candidate for Men Who Look Like Old Lesbians.com, my favorite website.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Of the Thorn in the USA podcast. Get it?
Yeah, Thorn.
Thorn in the USA.
That's Get it? Get it?
Corny, we just talked a little bit off air. We have one degree of separation. You were
yes.
the executive producer for Oprah, Gayle King, Dr. Maya Angelou, Susie Orman, Dr. Oz, Dr. Laura. I've connected by one degree to all of those people as well. But okay, tell us quickly, because this podcast sounds fantastic. There is a fictional host, Margaret Penelope Taylor, is Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene's biggest fan.
Pardon? It's Margaret Penelope.
Oh, pardon me. Pardon me. Okay. And she's Marjorie Taylor Greene's biggest fan. The podcast is written, produced, designed, performed by a group of concerned citizens who hold these truths to be self-evident. Women's rights are human rights. Fox News is an existential threat to our democracy. And three, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a national embarrassment. So we'll delve into your past. But tell us about this and where the idea came for this.
You know, it came very recently when the leaked SCOTUS decision came out back in May. I am semi-retired. I've been in radio for 20 to 30 years.
Yes.
And was enjoying my life. And when I'm postmenopausal, so my ovaries are all dried up and
right.
I don't really worry about getting pregnant, but I have two nieces who are fertile.
Right.
And when that leaked decision came out, I just became utterly enraged.
Wait,
and
you mean to say that you care about people other than yourself? Is that what you're saying? Even though your womb is a dry and rocky place that where no man's seed can find purchase, you...
Precisely,
okay.
Precisely all that. Right. Dry and rocky and, there are webs in there,
yeah.
Stephanie, I'll tell
sure.
you.
Sure. Oh, it's like mine. There's barroom doors.
You guys could have a dust.
There's tumbleweeds, there's cactus, yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, so my nieces are of the birthing age, and I adore them. And so this was really, when I heard that, it was just, I had to add my voice to the fight. And Stephanie, you and Travis and your team has just been doing a spectacular job. And, you know, over the last couple of years, it's like nobody is really breaking through in any way other than via comedy. So,
right.
You know, you are able to expose the far right for who and what they are. Stephen Colbert has done an amazing job.
John Stewart.
Right? Oh,
like,
my God.
We're all the comedians. We're all just like, all right, we'll do it. Jesus.
We'll do it. We'll throw ourselves on the cross. You know, I would say John Oliver has just been mm-hmm. spectacular.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Beth Lapidus, who is a friend of both of ours.
Yeah.
And,
a goddess.
And I think you can't argue with crazy, so you have to just expose it. And so we came up kind of with a construct for Thorne in the USA. And she is Marjorie Taylor Greene's second cousin once removed, but nothing. We haven't proved that through DNA yet, but she is the Marjorie Taylor Greene whisperer.
What? Okay, but Corny, what's the line, funny and sad? Because you saw that she is actually being, you know, thought of for vice president on a Trump ticket. And so things that you cannot write in a comedy, you're like, oh, my God, this could actually happen. She could actually
yes,
be the vice
exactly.
presidential.
So that's why we're describing it as a satire within a satire within a satire that is our democracy.
Right. I'm trying to imagine how fast my dad and Goldwater would spin in their graves if Donald Trump and Marjorie Taylor
right.
Greene are the ticket in 2024.
Oh, my Lord. If it's a ticket, well, for one thing, my podcast is going through the roof. Am I right?
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You tweeted, you love all the same people we love. You tweeted, support John Fetterman, a Pennsylvanian from Pennsylvania running for a Senate seat in Pennsylvania. What a novel idea. Yeah.
Novel.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, isn't he spectacular?
He is great.
He is just, he is the salt of the earth. He
yeah.
is truly organic and wonderful, and I love him. And the, you know, the same is true with Curtis in Georgia, who
yeah.
is fighting against the awful Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I just
you know?
Saw Mandela Barnes for the first time on TV. He is fantastic in Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
yes.
I hope he it's Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
And I think Ron Johnson is eminently beatable.
Yes, I think so too.
But yeah, Fetterman, I always cite my favorite that someone's like, hey, Fetterman, are you just going to post your way into the Senate? And he's like, well, we're sure going to try, son.
I it is so satisfying to me how much he is trolling Dr.
Yes.
Oz.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it is every post he does, it's just like, it's cathartic.
Corny,
it's cathartic.
We will bond on this because we've been talking about the Alex Jones stuff. First of all, his financials coming out that he makes, I don't know, $165 million, peddling pure lies and bull mm-hmm. supplements, just
yes.
like Dr. Oz. But we were talking about how it's all one story. Trump,
yeah.
Oz, you know, Alex Jones, they're all grifters and con men and they're selling bull. I mean, it's
yes.
and it's extraordinary how many suckers there are that buy
right.
it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. One of the episodes that we do, we draw a straight line from Sarah Palin to Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
I think you can see.
Sure.
It's just unbelievable. They're all cut of the same cloth, and they are all incredibly destructive. You know, Stephanie, I mentioned to you that I went back to Michigan this last week. I'm from Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And so all of my relatives in Michigan, they are very conservative, as is the way in Michigan. But they're conservative. They're Republican. They cannot stand Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
You know, they see the far right as being so incredibly destructive. So the podcast is kind of fun in that, you know, it really is kind of galvanizing, hopefully, us in the middle. And I am following in your footsteps, saving democracy, because that is now our calling.
Thank you. Well, you know, we were saying that shut up and breed is not the winning message that Republicans thought it would be in 2022 based on Kansas. Right. And
it's right.
It, you know, total abortion bans are not popular even with conservatives. So,
yeah,
you know, I feel this blue tsunami building. I don't know about you, you got to talk to me about Dr. Oz. So you executive produced for Dr.
Oz? I executive produced. Okay. So I was the executive producer for Oprah Radio when they launched initially. It was called Oprah and Friends in 2006 on XM, and then XM and Sirius grew together. And I oversaw that whole channel. And so, yeah, I had a lot of interactions with Dr. Oz. We also took his show on the satellite, and we took it terrestrially as well.
Right.
And he was lovely. You know, I really have nothing negative to say.
As a doctor, he's on record saying it is not a heartbeat at 6 weeks. But
yes.
Now what happens to these people, Courtney, where they have to become right-wing science-denying lunatics, even doctors like him?
Right, right. And just bending over for the former guy is just a stunning. I never would have seen it. And another person that I EP'd for was Lisa Oz. So when Mehmet had a show on the Oprah channel, Lisa Oz did as well. And it was a weekly show, and it was very spiritually oriented.
Right.
And for it, I can't fathom being super spiritual and thinking, okay, 100% against abortion is a good thing. It blows my mind.
Yeah. It's like Trump
and it's sad. And you know, that's why we got to fight back.
Well, okay. Our one degree of separation. I worked for Oprah twice. For Oxygen Network, and I co-hosted every Wednesday with Gail King on the Oxygen Network. You also EP'd for Gail King, who we both said is the loveliest person ever.
Yeah. Loveliest.
Yeah.
The most gifted talk radio host that I have ever worked with, and I've worked with a lot. But she is just, you got to switch on Gail, you turn her on, she can entertain you and make you laugh for 10 hours straight.
The best stories were before we went on air on Oxygen. And I got like the best stories ever. Oh, including the one, I'm not even sure if I was supposed to share it.
Uh-oh.
But it's still the best story ever. It was funny. When Oprah was trying to get her library back from Oxygen Network, Oxygen executive actually said to her, I don't know, can we see tape? I swear to God, hand to God, Gail told me, someone said, which would be funny even if Oprah didn't own the network.
Right.
It still would be funny. I'm Oprah Winfrey. Perhaps you know my work. Because I wanted to know what show she was pitching, which became Oprah after the show.
Right.
Which that's how she got her library back. But that's all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I went to approach Oprah and Gail at a fundraiser for Obama at Oprah's place, and Oprah's guards went, not from behind, don't approach Miss Winfrey from behind. And I said, but I'm friends with Gail. Gail, tell them, hi, Gail, I'm friends.
Yeah, no, Gail, I enjoyed working with Gail so much.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, talking about her gift of the gab.
Yeah.
On her final show, so they took our radio show, and then they started shooting it for the Oprah Winfrey Network, mm-hmm. right? So then they made it into a TV show.
Right.
And her final radio show, I took kind of a script that I usually do, which kind of just bullet points what she talks about.
Yeah.
It was completely blank. I put it in front of her, and then we were live. And she's like, Courtney, what am I supposed to do with this? I'm like, talk like you always
right.
do, Gail. And it was probably one of the most entertaining 2 hours that, you know, with absolutely no plan, she just started telling stories and we were laughing our asses off.
The best episode of Ari Melber lately was she happened to be somewhere he was filming and she's like, hi, Ari. And she just went on the show by accident. The other one, Dr. Laura, I started with Dr. Laura at KFI here.
Yes.
Now, did you start like screening for her? And did you ever tell anyone, hang up now, don't Like, you know what I mean? Because the people, you're like, the people that went, I don't know, my husband, my boyfriend's still an addict, but I got pregnant by him. Is that okay? I'm like, no, hang up now. Hang up now.
You know, back in the day, like in the 90s, she was actually very talented and funny and self-deprecating.
Yeah.
And
no, I knew her. I worked with her. Yeah.
And then back to the ego thing, it's just like her. She kept growing and kind of drinking her own spew, and then she just became awful. But yes,
she was my mentor of sorts at KFI. I was a little tiny baby radio talk show host.
I was too. Yeah. We were in opposite corners, sucking our thumb, avoiding her.
What about Dr. Angelou? That she had to have been amazing to work with.
She was a spectacular human being. She was just fantastic and lovely and funny. She was so funny. I remember her executive producer at Oprah Radio was a woman named Rita Wack. And I said in front of Dr. Maya, I said, is your producer Dr. Wackadoo? And she laughed so hard. And to have Dr. Maya Angelou laugh at your joke just is so wonderful. Yeah. So amazing. That was one of the greatest experience working with and for her.
Wow. I only had one conversation with Oprah. She came in the room, and then, you know, the Red Sea parted. She was in front of me suddenly. And I think I fell on the ground and just like did some funny, like whatever. And she just said, get up. That was it. That was pretty much. And then I said, Oprah. So that's was the extent of my contact with Oprah.
Did she say, get up? Stephanie?
I don't remember. It's all a blur.
Okay.
At least there was some familiarity if she said Stephanie.
Yes, but, right. Well, yeah. She was aware who I was.
That you existed.
I remember the first time when I started working at Harpo and, you know, on the phones, it popped up Oprah Winfrey. I'm like, I said, hello. And she said, are you afraid that the principal is calling you? I said, yes, I am.
You did your Mary Tyler Moore impression? Is that what that was? All right. Listen, Thorn in the USA is the podcast. I assume you get it wherever you get your podcasts, correct?
Yes. Wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah, just Google Thorn in the USA podcast and it'll pop right up.
Well, I can't believe it took this long to meet you. Thank you, Beth Lapidus, and come back anytime.
Yes.
Thank you. I love you guys. Really, you're spectacular. Doing the Lord's work.
Well, Chris is an atheist, so whatever.
I'll take it.
Chris, it's okay. Take it.
He's just doing
some
guy's
Lord's
work.
Whether you admit to it or even know it, you're doing the Lord's work, Chris.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you, Courtney. We'll see you next time. There she goes.
I love you guys.
Bye. All right. There she goes, Courtney Cole. Yeah. Thorn in the USA.
That's right.